Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I am Laura Wiffler, and I'm here with my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen.
Hello.
And, that was very fancy sounding, Emily.
Thanks. I was trying to change it up.
What up?
Trying to change it up a little bit.
Oh, I like it. I know. I don't change. I just am a robot at the beginning. So today we are talking about a really interesting topic. We are talking about how often as a mom, how it's really easy to feel alone. So kind of different from lonely, because Emily and I, when we were talking, we had to differentiate this a little bit, but just how, you know, that feeling you get whenever you're just like, oh, I am the only one who feeds my kids fruit snacks 10 minutes before dinner. Or, you know, like, I am the only one who has ever experienced a child waking up in the middle of the night. We're kind of dramatic, usually, when we think we're the only ones.
Yeah. I don't know.
And what are some of your, what do you think about whenever you feel like you're alone?
Yeah. I mean, usually like it is kind of that isolated feeling where I think my family is like unique. No one can understand what our family is going through. I sometimes worry too, like with my sin, like I'm the only one who like does certain things wrong as a mom. Like, am I the only one who flips down the TV screen in the car? Like when people are just screaming and I'm like, I can't take it anymore. And I've got 10 more minutes and like,
it's like a 10 minute
I don't
drive,
care. Yeah. Bring on the DVD. Or, you know, sometimes you can't get your kids to eat dinner and like, you know, we don't feed them vegetables as often as we should. Or, you know, like, being crabby towards my child because I'm on my phone and I'm checking Instagram and, you know, they're
totally
like
impatient
pulling on my leg. Yeah. And I'm being impatient. And so I feel like too, a lot of it is in my own weaknesses as a mom.
Totally.
Like I can really feel like I'm the only one who does these bad, bad things. And because I don't see my friends doing it, you know, when you're around other people, they're on their best. I'm on my best mom behavior.
Yeah. You're not doing it either. Yeah, so. And like, and two, I think we can also as moms really be like, oh, I don't think anyone understands like how I feel as I'm going through this. Or like, I know that like having a husband that works a lot, often I'm kind of like, you know, other moms will try to relate. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you just don't, you don't even understand, you know, or because we just, we like want to feel, it's almost like we want to feel alone in that. Like, I experience it so much more than any other mom ever has, you know?
Or you, like, want it to be, you feel like your hard is, like, the hardest hard.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I know I thought that a lot when I had newborn twins of just, like, no one can relate to how hard this is. And I even feel that sometimes now, like, we have twin toddlers. And it's like, well, not really, like, everyone who's had a twin, a toddler can understand to some degree, but it can feel kind of like, you know, oh, we have all boys. No one can understand how loud our house is or why it's so loud or, you know, the dirt and the energy that's going on. Like you were saying, no one can relate to how, you know, stressed that makes me feel at the end of a day when, you know, I've had little boys bouncing off walls. And, I think whatever kind of our struggle is as a mom, we can tend to isolate that and be like, no one understands this struggle that I have.
I know, which is so ironic to me. I mean, I do this too. So I will be the first to say, like, when my daughter had colic, it was like anyone else who said they had a crying baby. I'm like, yeah, whatevs. Like, you don't get it, you know? And like, it's so funny to me because it's like one quick Google search or like just like taking 10 minutes to talk to like a, you know, like a case study of a handful of people. It's like, yep, it, you are not alone. You are not the first person in the universe to experience a child with colic, you know, and like, you do not, you know, you are not superior. You are not special. You are not unique. And in any way that like you deal with this, it's happened before. And it's just, it's logic, but we tell ourselves like, No one gets it. And it's just so, it's funny to me. Like, if you were to really listen to our inner monologue, I think it would be pretty illogical. Like we'd be like lunatics, you know? We'd sound crazy.
I know, and a lot of it for me is just like having a pity party and not wanting to be content with what the Lord has put on my plate and in my life for this season. And I don't want to, I'm not believing that that's God's best for me. I'm just believing this is hard and I don't want it to be hard. And so, woe is me, hard life, nobody gets it. You know, I have it the worst, and it's
I
very
know.
self-centered. It's very, it's just not thinking about things that are right and true and good. And you know, it's totally self-worship, and it's like also worshiping whatever, you know, oh, I want things to be comfortable, or I want to control things, and it's not going my way. So
I know the pity.
you know, temper tantrum, you know, wow.
Totally. Oh yeah, it definitely. Pity parties are funny because it's kind of one of those, like, it's our favorite party to attend, but it's often the worst, you know?
The worst party you'll ever attend. I like
It's the worst party ever, but you're like, I'm going there today. I can't wait to go.
that.
Oh man. And I think too, like, we're often finding your identity like in your struggle instead of in Christ. And like that is something I know that I do, is that I just like become like, oh, I'm the colic mom, or I'm the mom that had to move, you know, 5 days after I had a baby, or like this, it starts to define us, whatever our struggles are, our issues, you know, they kind of become like, I am that mom. And you see like, you know, like, sort of lost where I'm going with this, but basically
You live that out.
you begin to completely play that out. And like that, I think, well, we want to talk about one more. Sorry, I'm trying to jump ahead, but we're trying to stay focused. Emily asked me to stay more focused. So, real talk here.
Okay. No, I think this is good. We're just trying to like go through kind of what are the reasons why we feel alone. And Laura's just touched on identity, and I think the other one we wanted to talk about was just like being isolated as women. And this may vary based on how much maybe you work outside of the home or don't, but like even if you work outside of the home, that doesn't necessarily mean you're having like meaningful interactions with other women or people who love Jesus. So I think I've also noticed when I start to get really, oh, I'm so alone, I realize I haven't had conversations with people. Like,
You are literally alone.
who have I talked to other than my own voice and like a toddler in the last, you know, however many days? And sometimes you're just talking to your husband, like that doesn't always count for me because we have the same problems.
Oh,
And
yes, it
so
does not
like
count.
he's just like, well, you're alone with me.
Yeah,
So
I totally think like that's, you know, it's something that we kind of tend to do is get more introverted, and we have these issues, like you not only begin to isolate yourself just like in your thoughts, but sometimes it happens physically as well. And so like getting out of the house, like I was saying, like if you start to talk to more moms, it can easily become something where you're like, oh, you struggle with that too, and you get that. And
Well, yeah, we want to be connecting over truth and then also just sharing our experiences and going, oh, yeah, me too, you too.
yeah, exactly. And I think too, like where the gospel plays into all of this, you know, it's interesting, just again, going back to the fall and redemption, as we always do with the gospel. You know, Adam and Eve, they were separated from God in their sin. Like they went and they hid from God, they ran away, and they were actually isolated from each other too. They were causing blame on one another, which I think is interesting to look at as well, is that they were, you know, like pointing the finger and wanting to say, like, you know, this isn't my problem, or it's not my fault. And like that element of the fall like causes us to also feel alone. Like that is part of the fall, is that like we are going to have these feelings, and that we desire deeper relationships that we don't get, or we start to fall into depression or despair, or even self-righteousness, which causes us to have a rift between one another as humans. Our human relationships are fallen because of the fall. And so, you know, the great part about this, though, of course, is always going back to the redemption story, and just that, like, nothing can separate us from Christ now, you know, and that because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, like, we are never alone. Like, we have the great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, and he understands what we're going through. Like, truly, even if you are literally the only person on the planet that has experienced something, like, Jesus can identify with you. There's no feeling, no emotion, no situation that he doesn't get and hasn't experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yeah. Preaching again.
Oh, no, that's great. And I think the picture that comes to mind for me a lot on this is when one of my children will maybe, like, do something disobedient, sometimes I'll move him, I'll just say, because I have always, to time out. And it is a separation. Like, I physically separate him from the rest of the family, because it's like sin separates us from other people and it causes us to be alone. Like, you have to sit here alone now and think about this sin and, like, what happened in your heart, and then, you know, come back later and talk with him and reconcile and say, okay, you sinned in this way, like, we want to ask God for forgiveness, but then I want to restore our relationship and bring us back into full fellowship so that you can rejoin our family and, like, no one is bitter, no one is frustrated with you. And I always just think of that as, like, a little picture of, like, what happens with our sin.
Oh, it's, like, perfect, yeah.
When we do that and, like, we are in sin, or just this is the result of sin, we are isolated in our own. But God has made a way, like Laura said. And I think the other great thing is, like, he has brought us into a kingdom and into a family of other believers. So not only are we not alone because Christ understands, but we're not alone in this Christian walk. And, like, we have fellowship with others and we can have fellowship with others. And if we're choosing to not have that, you know, or if you're feeling alone, I think there is, like, an element of looking at your own life and saying, am I not engaging in the fellowship and, like, the body of Christ that God has given for me to be a part of?
Yes. Oh, totally. I think that is certainly one of those things where it's a practical way of kind of getting out of those feelings of being alone is going to your local church and getting in involved with the body of Christ and saying, like, you know, I want to serve, or I want to be mentored, or I want to be involved in this Bible study. Like, there are so many opportunities in a local church to be involved in. And that's, like not only to go there and be physically present, but also, like, the thing that is so hard for us as women is, like, to truly be vulnerable with other women. I know that takes time, like, female relationships take time to build on, but, like, I think that's key, is that, you know, none of us, no man is an island. Like, none of us can do this on our own, and we all kind of wear these masks, I think, and it's so important to be willing to be authentic with what you're struggling with, and I have seen time and time again, I feel like for me, I tend to just be a super honest person, like, this is what I'm going through, you know, take it or leave it, you know, and just kind of lay it on the table and let them pick it up, but I think every time I've done that, I can't tell you the amount of times in the room someone has been like, me too, or I thought I was the only one. And, like, I'm not making that up. Like, that is true. It's amazing how one person who's willing to be vulnerable, like, you'll find there are so many other people in the room that can often relate.
Yeah, and I think the thing here, too, is wanting to check our heart attitude in wanting to relate to other people, because I think when you're feeling alone, sometimes what you kind of want is just for other people to, like, join your pity party and, like, kind of pat you on the back and be like, me too. And you're like, oh, good, come to my party. instead of saying the greater goal is for them to remind you of truth, for you to be reminded of truth, for you to be worshiping God and to be content and joyful about the plan that he has for your life or whatever you're going through. And to understand, you know, how Christ is with you in that. And so when we are being authentic, I think the goal isn't just so that we could say me too, although that is a really important thing, but it's so that someone can say me too, now what? Now let's look to Christ. And that's something that I think is unique to a believer, follower of Christ can give you, that maybe just your friend on the street may, you know, have some camaraderie with you, but is that really going to help you feel better? It might not. And then I think another practical thing is, like, maybe even getting in, like, a support group. You know, Facebook has a billion groups now. of like people that are going through different things. Like I know this year I started attending a breastfeeding support group in my community. And that's helped me so much, you know, in moments. It's like a practical thing of not feeling alone.
Yeah, totally. I think there are like, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily to like a Christian group, although that is going to probably give you the most edifying and uplifting encouragement as you share struggles. But there are so many benefits to like what Emily said, like a breastfeeding group. Emily just had a child join her, you guys.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
Good thing we're almost done.
We are almost done. It's actually a good sign for us to probably wrap up. Sorry.
We've always known that this was going to happen someday during a podcast.
Which toys are quiet?
He's so polite. He's looking for which toys are quiet.
Which toys are quiet? Oh, that is adorable. Okay, well, we will wrap this up so that he can get to playing. Let's see, guys. Find us on our website, risenmotherhood.com. Mm-hmm. From there, of course, you can find the links to Facebook. You can find links to Twitter and also to our iTunes page. Please, if you haven't yet, subscribe and leave a review over on iTunes. It is the best way for us to get the word out about the show. And then, too, guys, get involved in some mom groups. I think that's like a charge from this episode. You know, get involved in your local church, in Bible study, in a women's group, in a mom's group, whatever.
Yes.
All of those things. So take some action from this. Talk to other moms. Be real. We just really hope that these shows not only encourage you in the moment, but that they spur you on to do action or have further conversation to really digest this. So that's what I want to tell you today. So,
amen.
All right. Anything else, Em? We
no,
good?
That's great.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.